Time's now 3:32, and we're going to continue the show now with Wellness Wednesday, presented by Orange Partnership. We're on the first Wednesday of each month. We'll meet local organizations working together to prevent underage drinking and drug use and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. This month, we'll be talking with Dr. Caroline Hextall, mindfulness instructor and owner of the Center for Mindful Development. Dr. Hextall, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We are also joined by Vidya Kasturi, a student and ADAPT intern, and ADAPT is Alcohol and Drug Abuse Prevention Team. So Vidya, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's try that again. I didn't have your mic on.
Thanks for having me.
There we go. Sorry about that. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we are just into it now, so we're going to get the full effect here, having this conversation right out of the gate for May. Just kind of looking at mental health in general, what are some of the main stressors that affect the mental health of young people in today's world?
So a lot of young people are under significant pressures often to perform in certain ways academically and maybe even athletically. But the influence of social media and all the different comparisons that they're exposed to can really heighten their stress levels and make them feel that they have to be on a certain trajectory that they're not necessarily on. So those are some aspects of the stressors that they may be confronting.
Yeah, and certainly as a student myself, I can tell you academic performance and grades in particular are definitely a particular stressor for us. We can also experience stress from family life, personal relationships like friendships or romantic relationships, extracurriculars, and kind of balancing our schedules. Definitely social media is a big one, and especially for high school students nearing the end of their high school careers, planning for college and options for the future.
So absolutely a lot going on. And I think a lot of adults, particularly adults my age, we tend to kind of think back on what that time period was like. And a lot of times it's hard to remember that that social media element alone is such a massive difference in the experience that adults had as adolescents and teens and what teens today are facing. So that alone, you know, there are obviously a whole bunch of other issues as well, but that alone is enough to really, I hope, give some older people a moment to take pause and be like, we're actually dealing with sort of a different thing. It's not the same old, like generations often like to say.
Right. There have been pressures on, you know, many other generations. But it's what sort of differentiates social media from these other pressures of other generations is that it's sort of constant. And so often young people just never get a break from being in the face of social media or these comparisons that they are constantly having to, consider if that's the path that they need to be taking, or they're measuring their own performance upon this other external marker that may not actually be healthy or really true to who they are. So,
and obviously mental health concerns manifest themselves a whole bunch of different ways, but the one that we kind of look at as the kind of marker that's the most telling or perhaps the biggest deal, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, suicide's the second leading cause of death among people aged 10 to 14. The third leading cause of death among those aged 15 to 24 in the U.S. So what are some warning signs of mental health issues in children and teens so we can get way out in front of this sort of thing?
Right. It's a very concerning statistics for sure. There are certain warning signs for mental health issues that really the earlier we intervene, the better. For young people, a lot of it involves a very significant change from what they may have been acting as in, you know, maybe months before or even weeks before. So often any sort of significant change is potentially an indicator that that child or that teen just needs some attention. Whether that be just a conversation with a parent or a trusted adult or a teacher or a therapist. But that sudden change that is slightly different than or even significantly different than how that individual was acting prior. Withdrawal can be a sign of depression, not all withdrawal certainly, but significant withdrawal, isolation, a change in behavior such as increased aggression or increased anger, irritability. Any of those signs can certainly be alerting or signs that are alerting the adult to pay more closer attention to that child or that teen.
Yeah, and just a couple more to add. I think kind of isolating behaviors are another big sign of mental health issues. So, for example, seeming more withdrawn from people close to you, always tired, maybe you're not getting enough sleep, you're staying up later, irritability, like was mentioned before, maybe a lack of motivation, and then a lack of enjoyment for previous activities that you really seem to take pleasure out of.
That's the voice of Vidya Kasturi, an ADAPT intern. We're also joined by Dr. Caroline Hextall, a mindfulness instructor, and we're talking about May being Mental Health Awareness Month and kind of keeping this conversation going along the same lines. The National Alliance on Mental Illness asserts that 50% of all lifetime mental illness begins by age 14 and 75% by age 24. So we're kind of in this lane already, but how important is early diagnosis for these issues?
Yeah, early diagnosis is really key in part because we can get started on intervention earlier, and then that trajectory changes from more of that spiraling into more unhealthy behaviors into more of that trajectory that involves healthier adaptive behaviors. Skills at coping, better relationships, et cetera. So being able to diagnose what is being presented in that child or that teen and that clear, accurate diagnosis is also really important. So anytime a parent or a teacher is noticing any of these symptoms or sudden changes, to not really sit on it, but really intervene as early as possible, as we know that the outcomes are far greater and far better when we really do intervene early.
I also wanted to ask Vidya a question in particular, because I know that your work as an ADAPT intern is specifically focused on kind of that idea of starting a conversation with a young person who's struggling, particularly for adults and parents. That can be something that's difficult to do, quite frankly. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how starting that conversation early is important and why it's important and how it can be done.
Yeah, so I would say that in terms of having conversations early, I can break that up into two parts: preventative talks and right after diagnosis. So part of ensuring that we're diagnosing mental health issues early is opening dialogues early. Certainly when you notice someone struggling, it's always important to let them know that they're not alone, that they have a support group. But even before this, communication on this topic is essential. Parents and family and trusted adults are in the best position to provide resources and are therefore a very integral part of this conversation and carry a lot of responsibility around this topic. Young people need to be aware of different types of mental health issues that people experience, risk factors, coping strategies before they are at risk. So maybe before that 14-year-old age or before they enter middle school. And adults should be aware of common symptoms and risk factors as well in order to best help young people and guide them through difficult transitions. So starting conversations early, they can really aid in the child's development, and adding to their self and social awareness can really shape the way they grow and allow them to succeed best. And so this all involves preventative measures, but the other side of this involves early diagnosis. So after diagnosis or observation of symptoms, it's really important to discuss the next steps quickly. Don't wait on that discussion to help ease whoever is dealing with this issue into the next treatment or the coping strategy and really make that as seamless as possible.
That is the voice of Vidya Kasturi, an ADAPT intern, and we are having our Wellness Wednesday conversation, talking Mental Health Awareness Month here, and kind of along those same lines, you mentioned some coping and self-care strategies there. What are some things that people can actually do to kind of take care of their mental health, particularly from that teenage perspective?
Yeah, so self-care can come in many forms. Some really simple strategies are just kind of to make sure that you're kind of taking care of yourself and just making sure that you're maintaining a healthy relationship and boundaries with your own self. So defining and maintaining support groups, that's really important to help you balance stressors. These people can help you stay grounded and provide support through any challenges that you might face. Learning time management is also key to make sure that you're not taking on too much and that you're really setting aside personal time for yourself to pursue hobbies and interests and kind of give yourself a good brain break. Establishing routines and sticking to them is important. Making sure you're getting enough sleep, you're hydrating. Spending time in nature is also very relaxing. And most importantly, I always say you need to make sure you're taking breaks.
I like taking breaks for sure. That's good advice. All the good advice. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but there are a couple other things that I was hoping to cover. I guess the most important one is, what are resources that listeners can use to learn more on these topics?
Yeah, the National Alliance on Mental Illness is an excellent resource, as well as Mental Health America. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration has a lot of resources on their website as well. And for anyone in crisis, the Hope Line or texting 988 is a great resource.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And for another place where you can access a multitude of resources, you can look at the Orange Partnership website. A lot of our partner organizations have programs in place to distribute mental health resources. And we also have a parent page to help give parents talking tips, advice for approaching potentially challenging situations, and to ease that kind of communication.
That's the voice of Vidya Kasturi. We're also joined by Dr. Caroline Hextall, and we're just about out of time. Is there anything else either of you would like to mention that we haven't gotten to yet?
I think just wherever you can, you know, pay attention to the child who's in front of you, whether that's your own child or a neighbor or your student. You know, the kids and teens really do need our attention these days. And so to give that to them in positive ways is really a good strategy.
And what I would want to emphasize is make sure you're kind of meeting people where they're at, balancing your expectations, and making sure that, above all, we're supporting people without consequences.
Thank you for tuning in to Wellness Wednesday, presented by Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to achieve a vision for a community where all young people can live healthy and productive lives. You can find more information at orangepartnership.org. Dr. Hextall and Vidya, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.